Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Hello, and welcome back to the Keith Cheggers podcast. Hi, I'm your host. My name is Hannah Norris, if I can say that. Hannah Norris, and I'm here with my husband,
Carl Donnelly.
And this is a podcast about pregnancy. This is episode 36. And officially, this is week 41.
Well, if it had ultimately gone weekly.
Yeah.
But it was weekly until
we
had a surprise.
Yes. So in week 38, we had our baby. So I'm no longer pregnant anymore because she's here.
Very much so.
Yeah. And being quiet right now.
You've got her on your shoulder. You've got your headphones sort of wonky on your head. Yeah. This is how to record a podcast with a baby.
Yeah. When we were at week 38, the plan was that we were going to catch up with a special guest, Felicity Ward, who we spoke to when she was 38 weeks pregnant.
Yes.
And I was 8 weeks pregnant. So I thought that was a really nice kind of bookend to the podcast. But yeah, as I said, we had a surprise guest, which was our daughter. So instead this week, we have got Felicity with us, although she's in Australia.
Hi, who is no longer pregnant anymore either.
Yeah. And how old's Frankie's? Eight months, is it?
Yeah, nearly eight and a half. I have spent the last 3.5 months in lockdown with him every day, watching him be frustrated that he can't crawl. Every day I'm like, you can do it, working, supporting, there for him. 2 days after I leave, footage of him just crawling across the room.
Oh, really? Oh, no. Yeah.
Couldn't believe it, mate.
He thanks you for your support, I'm sure.
Yeah,
I'm sure. But, you know, behind every great man, know what I'm saying?
Yeah, totally. And that's something we were chatting about just before we started recording, about how amazing women are, right?
Oh, my God. There was just a lot of things that I thought that women who had children, and I know that men can fall pregnant and have children too, but the who I'm specifically talking about is, I thought women who are online and stuff, and they go, women are amazing. Oh, they go through birth. And I'm like, yeah, I get it. Like, it's incredible. Okay, whatever. And then I had a child myself. I'm like, I have been so wrong. Women are incredible. Those women are incredible. I was judgy, and I want to go up. There's so many things I want to apologize for. I want to go up to every friend that had a baby, and I went around there and let them make me a cup of tea.
Yeah.
Like, who do I think I am? This person has not slept for 6 weeks, is keeping a baby alive and learning to do that basically on instinct. And I'm like, oh, yeah, milk and two, thanks.
Yeah. I'm going to say, any friend of mine who has children, particularly like women who were single mothers.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Single parenting. And a friend of mine who had twins as well. I'm just like, I'm just sending them emails going, I just want to tell you that I've always, you know, I love you. You're my friend, but I think you are amazing. I don't know how you did it.
Single parents are heroes, like just heroes. They should all get an MBE if they care about it, or just a check for £1,000.
Yeah.
We were just talking about recently as well the logistics of if you had triplets, just how much carnage that would be.
A friend of mine, someone she knows, had triplets on the same day that Twyla was born, and she's just sent me a link to their Instagram, which is Triplets of London, started following.
The pram is a normal double, like twin pram, and they've managed to sort of, it's like a Frankenstein monster. They've strapped on another car seat that sticks
like a bad renovation.
Yeah, it's like a conservatory for their pram, and there's another baby in it, and it's just, it all looks so hard.
That picture of her just holding three of them in the hospital under a blanket, just three babies God. On her chin.
How do you breastfeed?
Well, I don't have like you. Yeah, there hasn't been footage of that yet, but I know they were born early, and so they were in hospital for a few weeks, I think. And so on Instagram, they just were taking the babies home. And there was a picture the other day with the dad going across a park just with this triple pram
monstrosity.
Yeah, and from what I can see, they're musicians and you know, artists.
Well, at least they've got a stable income then.
Yeah,
to support three children.
Oh, can you believe how much babies cost? You're like, what do you? Oh yeah, I've got to get that.
The nappies,
but they actually need them.
The actual, we've been buying biodegradable hippie nappies, essentially, we've had a couple of goes at reusables. And when I say a couple of goes, it was literally one go and then buck that for never 2 weeks. No,
we did a day where we just went, she just leaked every nappy that we tried on her. We did a day where
there was shit and piss all over our house. but basically, the biodegradable ones are so expensive.
Yeah. Well, everything that's good for the environment or good for you is expensive.
Yeah.
Because capitalism.
Yeah.
Because they're like, oh, wait a minute, there's a need for this. Well, I better jack the prices up. See, hand sanitizer 2 months ago.
Yeah. But we you did give us a bag which had a few of your newborn nappies that you hadn't needed to use, and some other bits and pieces which have been really useful. We've gone through them all. We've kept some aside. There's some newborn ones which we can't use anymore that we're going to hand on to some other baby.
You feel like you're in a club. Like when we moved out to Australia to start filming at the beginning of the year and Frankie was only 9 weeks old, all of these people, like my friend who's got two kids said, is there anything you need? I'll chat to the mother's group. And that, like, they brought over a bath, a change mat, toys, a plate, like all of this stuff. And they're like, oh, just like whatever you want to do at the end. Like, when you're going to have a kid, you're like, I want the best for my baby, and it's in a pandemic, so secondhand things are, you know, it's a bit tricky.
Yeah.
But once I've had a baby, I'm like, I'm never going to buy anything new again.
Yeah.
Like once this pandemic's passed, it's so expensive, and you realise they don't care.
Yeah.
And we're like, I think I spoke about this on the podcast the first time, but Frankie has a cousin who's 6 months older than him.
Yeah.
So every 3 months we get a full bag of clothes. So I reckon we've probably spent maybe 150 quid on him since he was born on clothes. That's it.
Yeah. We've been good with, we got so many clothes given to us.
Yeah.
It was unreal. Like it was like working in a secondhand store. You know, when you look out back and they're all rummaging through bags. Like we had a couple of days of that because we had so many bags of stuff. And
we've still got a box under the bed because people bought things for him when he was a year old and 2 years old.
Yeah.
So it's like I get Christmas every 3 months. I'm like, oh, what am I going to dress you in today?
We did we vacuum packed some stuff.
Yeah.
She's like 6 to 9 months, 9 to 12 months. So it's on top of the wardrobe, just like waiting to go. I love it. Oh, yeah,
it's so great. And well also, done on doing that.
Yeah, I know. We can't believe how quick she's grown out of the. But the newborn stuff lasted a matter of what?
4 weeks, 4 or 5 weeks.
If that, she just got so long.
But it was a thing as well, because I remember my mum saying, because I was heavy when I was born, I was 9 pounds something. And she just said, oh, none of the newborn stuff fit you. You know, you had to go straight into the bigger clothes. And because throughout the whole pregnancy, Twyla was called Massive Janet because she was big, 99th percentile, 90%, 95%. She was just huge. And then when she was born, she was really average sized, like 7 pounds.
Old average eight. Janet. That's what her name is now.
Not Janet.
Did you think about calling her Janet?
We
it was a running joke for a long time that by the time she near the birthday, I started mooting that it would be quite a fun middle name. And then Hannah Vito.
It's a fun name for a baby. I think
it's a fun name. Yeah, little Janet.
Yeah. Hilarious.
But she's like, not.
Yeah, real fun.
Yeah, it's all well and games. It's the fun and games now when she's 12 and getting bullied.
But yeah, so those early clothes, I didn't even know what would fit her. So taking her to the hospital when she was born, just going, what clothes do you take? You don't know what size they're going to be, what they need.
How long you're going to be in there for.
Yeah.
How cold it's going to be in there.
Yeah.
I've got a friend who's, she's due to have twins in September. And I'm just like, I'm making like Excel spreadsheets for her.
Yeah.
Like, have this prepared. You don't need this. Here is a photo of our change table set up. Like, I'm just, one, because I can't, I think anyone who has a newborn, I'm just astonished if they don't struggle like I did.
Mm.
I'm like, you're incredible. How are you doing this? Because I just found it so hard and so overwhelming. And so when I think about people who have twins, I'm like, am I having a heart attack? Or I mean, I'm not having the baby, but I do feel very anxious.
And so, and for that early time, like, what was it? What was that for you then, the struggle? And
I think the first 3 or 4 days were absolutely fine. And then like the blues kicked in, which mm-hmm. they do, and that was okay. But I also had some family stuff going on.
Yeah.
It was a really uncomfortable dynamic, and I was so exhausted that I wasn't able to handle it. But there was sort of some behavior
external,
that was just like,
yeah.
Yeah, it was all that was external. And then I, because I don't know if it's because I'm a comedian and I'm used to antisocial hours, I didn't want to go to bed at 7 o'clock at night. So, like, I just thought, no, I don't want this to be the only thing that I do. So, you know, I'd go and stay up till 11 or sometimes midnight. And I had this crazy thinking, if I go to bed at midnight and I wake up at 5, that means I only wake up once in the night, because I would rather have no sleep than have broken sleep.
Yeah. Right.
So I did that for weeks and weeks and weeks on end. So I had like chronic sleep deprivation.
Yeah.
And then there was another family dynamic that came up, and then I got this job that I went overseas with. And by then I had postnatal depression. I didn't know about it. And then I kind of had the hardest 8 months of my life, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah.
It's been it just kept happening. Like, there were so many external things that happened. My ex-fiance died while I was out in Australia. We had a family member fall ill.
It
was a mess getting over to Australia. We got to Australia and the Airbnb was covered in grease and food, so we had to clean after 24 hours with a baby. Our bassinet got stolen on the flight over. Our driver didn't turn up to the airport. Like, it's a joke. Like, it was, and it just kept going on and on.
And then the pandemic hit as well.
And then the pandemic hit, and it looked like we were going to be stuck in Australia. And then we got a call on the Thursday morning at 8:30 saying, we can get you on a flight this afternoon, but you'll have to be packed up in 5 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So Frankie would have been 4.5 months, I think, by then, and his colic had passed and his reflux had passed. But we had a lot of breastfeeding troubles as well, and problems with, like, my milk supply, my milk flow dropped for a number of really upsetting reasons, again, external.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had 5 hours to get on a plane, and it was Chris's birthday to get back to the UK. It was just... And then we had a pandemic and we couldn't get any help or any support. So, yeah, it was
They're things you can't put on a spreadsheet, are they?
No.
You cannot put pandemic on the spreadsheet.
No.
But then it's not a solution for everyone, but I just had to go on medication. I've never been that sick before or for that long. And ever since the medication kicked in, I just loved motherhood. I loved it. I really, like, before then, someone who I'm working with now, actually, or about to work with, they had postnatal depression, and they put it so perfectly. They said, I was allergic to his cry.
Oh,
I'm like, that's exactly how I felt. Like, I'd feel this rising panic and try to do anything I could. So it stopped me from even, like, Chris and I would, because my husband, we'd be bathing him, and Chris would like just dump water on his head, and he'd get it in his eyes and he'd start to cry, and I'm like, you've got it in his eyes, blah, blah, blah. And it, like, when I step back, I'm like, it's water.
Yeah.
He's gonna get used to water.
Yeah,
it's nothing toxic. it's okay.
Yeah.
But I could, there was no distance between me wanting to stop him to cry. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does. And it's, I mean, it's also in that thing of not wanting to harm them and trying to keep everything safe. And when they're crying, like I found that for me, that's been the hardest times when I've got upset is when she's been so distressed that I can't fix it. It's not being able to do something about it, which then can, you know, can escalate. Yeah. It's like if then they're crying a lot, then it's consistent, that feeling.
Oh, and that went on for months with us. He cried for months, you know, like whatever colic is, it's probably digestive related. But
yeah, but because obviously the colic thing is they've got to cry, they say to be colic, it's a crying for a minimum of 3 hours a day, 3 days a week for 3 weeks or something. That is some weird three threes. But what are we talking like in terms of hours?
Every day for a start, there's no... I thought it was every day for 2 weeks, minimum 3 hours. But so there was a period of about a month where he cried from 7 o'clock at night till 11 o'clock at night every day.
Whoa.
And then that was from about 2 weeks, I suppose. And then it started to bleed into the day as well.
Right.
And then Chris went back to work only for only 2 days a week and only for 2 weeks. Or maybe 3 days a week, but it wasn't a lot.
You were by yourself. But yeah.
I was by myself. Frankie didn't nap. Frankie's our little boy. He would sometimes nap sometimes he'd nap for 3 hours and then sometimes he'd nap for 15 minutes.
Yeah.
There was no pattern to his napping. And whenever I tried to do something, of course, that's when he would wake up again. So I'd have a shower. I've never had a shower in those first 2 months. I never had a shower where he didn't wake up crying. Yeah. The other thing was he breastfed for an hour. Like all of his feeds took an hour.
Wow.
So...
Is that on one side or over both sides? Just on one side?
Just on one side. And then the next time I did one boob at a time. So I do one feed, one boob, the other feed, the other boob. And I've got one of those little apps that tells you which boob. like you log which one you did last and for how long.
We're doing that manually. We've just got a blackboard that I write. We write stuff.
I cannot recommend getting an app enough. I cannot. Because it means if Twyla moves onto the bottle at any stage or onto solids, like now because my mother-in-law looks after Frankie as well, she's on the app. So if she looks after him, she knows when he slept last, when he napped last, when he changed. We find it at like incredibly helpful.
What is the point
where I'm it's called Glow Baby, I think.
Okay.
So Glow was the one that I used when I was trying to get pregnant, and then Nurture, which is one of theirs as well. I just stuck with them because, you know, that's how brand loyalty works. and then once you've had the baby is Glow Baby, and it's free for the first two parents, and it's you can put all your milestones on there, whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
I couldn't have done, and Chalkboard's really good as well. I don't forget it.
Yeah.
And we've just done it since he was born.
Yeah. So it was an hour.
So shout out to Glow Baby.
Sponsorship for all.
Yeah, that's right.
So
please.
Yeah. You were saying that the breastfeeding then was an hour per feed.
Yeah. So it was so he'd feed for an hour and then maybe, you know, he's supposed to feed every 2 or 3 hours, however long it was. And there were some times that he would have slept through had I not woken him up, but I was so worried that, you know, you can't let them sleep that long. When I think you can, I think you probably can.
Yeah. Well, we did our NCT catch up the other day with on Zoom, but I mean we've been hanging out actually, that we've been meeting up in the parks with the people from our NCT group for weeks, so it's actually been really nice and helpful. But we because when we did the breastfeeding thing, basically it was stressed quite a lot, and Hannah's been really committed to doing it, which was to always offer the second breast when feeding. But Twyla definitely in the last 2 weeks or 10 days. How long do you reckon until she's really just been like, I don't want the second one?
Yeah, she, yeah, it's
definitely been a week or so.
It's often been a struggle before that to try and convince her.
And Hannah's still been like sort of just plowing through, offering her to say, and sometimes she'll offer it and Twyla kicks off. And actually, she got really chilled after feeding and she probably would have gone to sleep. And then suddenly she's stuck again. And then Hannah just asked at the NCT thing, just said like, you know, I've been offering it every time and sometimes it really upsets her. And the woman just went, oh, yeah, you know, when she's 7 weeks now, you can start trusting her rather than just the rules that are stated. You know, I mean, you actually start learning what your baby wants and needs. And it's not as people make out
under it.
Yeah.
I just couldn't even separate myself from the rules. They were like the only things that got me through. I remember Frankie, I'd like wake him up, I'd get him out of bed to wake him up to feed him. And so I remember once it taking me an hour to wake him up. He could have just been sleeping.
Yeah.
I could have been sleeping.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, just let the baby sleep a bit more. It's okay.
Yeah.
You know, after 7 weeks, 8 weeks, you don't need to, you know, you can follow their lead a little bit more. Yeah. Obviously, don't give them the keys to the car, but,
you know. Yeah, we had a thing where I was saying to you on WhatsApp, because Twyla wakes up quite a lot during the night. You know, she's an hour and a half, 2 hours generally for feeds. And the night before, she slept for 3 hours. Well, I got to sleep for 3 hours straight and then 3 hours straight again and then 2 hours. And I woke up in the morning was just... I was ecstatic.
You had the look of somebody who just come back from a weekend spa break.
Yeah.
It was unreal.
Yeah.
This glow.
I literally remember the first time Frankie did 2 3-hour blocks and then a 2-hour block. So over the period of like 11 hours, I'd had 8 hours sleep.
Yeah.
It's just like, who is this person? I mean, that didn't happen for a while after that, but I remember the first time.
Well, that was it. We got very cocky. It happened 2 nights ago.
I didn't because I'm so suspicious of being too cocky.
But, but you definitely jinxed it.
That was so good. I didn't, you know, hopefully I've got my fingers crossed.
And then last night she woke up for one feed at, what was it, 2:30, 2:45?
Yeah.
And didn't go back to sleep until 4:30. She was awake. She was like, it was like Twyla went, I had so much sleep last night, guys. I'm going to stay awake.
Yeah, I'm refreshed.
And then she woke up at 5 and then at 6:30 and then, you know.
Oh. Yes.
Oh, mate. You guys are amazing. I can't believe you're doing a podcast. I couldn't make myself a sandwich.
Well, weirdly, I think we've been, I mean, I've been, I, obviously I haven't got a breastfeed, so I've got it a lot easier, but I think even Hannah's energy levels have been pretty remarkable.
Yeah.
Considering we're at 7.5 weeks, and you know it's been pretty full on. But you know you've still been.
We're very much sharing. I really keep saying that we're really sharing the caring of her. Like you're not working. You're not going out and.
Thanks for reminding me.
I mean, you are making some little videos every now and then.
Oh, your funny little videos online, eh? Is that going to feed
your,
on?
Your videos are very funny, Carl. They are very funny.
As yet, non-monetized.
You'll get there. But, I mean, Chris and I, like, we shared everything. He was doing all of the cooking,
Yeah.
And then he would do at least... We take turns in feeds, so I'd do a breastfeed and then he'd do at least one bottle at night.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know when the bottle came in. The bottle, we tried the bottle at the beginning and he brought it all up.
Right.
So, because I think Chris fed him too quickly.
I had,
so
when I was,
he had to wake me up.
When I was in hospital, I was very angry. When I had to stay there for 2 nights, I could hear that in a ward with 3 other women in the bed next to me, we were curtained off from each other, but I could hear that she was bottle feeding her baby and would just hear the baby vomit like all the after every feed basically. And I was in the next bed like, oh my God, that would be freaking me out. That would have been freaking me out. It was her third child. So she would kind of relax. She was like, oh baby, here you go. Like mop
it up.
And
I was, Twyla did her first projectile vomit yesterday
morning.
Yeah, like, well, and it wasn't like I read something saying that some of them can go across the room. Like literally you can get like...
Yeah, I've heard that too.
But she did one that was pretty, you know...
Had power to it. Had
power, but it wasn't, yeah. As yet, she's not done the exorcist style one.
No, I mean, Frankie's never done an exorcist, but he had reflux, so he still throws up. He's like 8.5 months and it's only because we've brought solids in and he's having 3 meals a day now. Yeah. But I was speaking to my mother-in-law this morning and she said that he brought up a lot of his bottles. So he just doesn't have a stomach for, and it's for people that are going to write in go, maybe he has a milk allergy. He doesn't have a milk allergy.
Yeah.
But thank you. I know that you've had an episode with it and you found it out and it changed your life. My son doesn't have a milk allergy or a dairy allergy.
Hi there, I'm Yasmin Akram. Join myself and my friend Philippa Dunn each week for our podcast, We Heart Worry, a show about cars and their engines. Obviously not. It's a show where we talk about our fears, our worries and our anxieties in a bid to help you with yours. And we just have a laugh as well. So join us. There's nothing to be scared of. I promise.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
Has he been medicated for it? So we were talking to one of our NCT group and their son has a quite bad reflux and he was put on some medication that was really working.
And a liquid omeprazole.
Yeah, and then they've changed it to another one that's not working and now they're having real trouble getting him to go back to the original medication. Like apparently the doctors are just playing sort of hardball.
I think it's because it was two different GPs. She's registered outside of London because lockdown, they were at a family home and that doctor had given her this liquid omeprazole, which really worked. And now she's back in London and they won't give her that.
So did you go down the medication route or just?
I went to a GP twice and the first time she said, try Infacol, which is just this thing that joins up the bubbles.
Yeah.
And then she said, we'll try Gaviscon. And then we left the country and, she said, I don't want to put him on hard medication first. Yeah, and I was like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. But then we left the country. Fuck me, I wish we had it. I wish we had it.
Yeah.
But can I give you the best tip that was passed on to me? If there is anyone listening that has a baby with reflux for whom medication didn't work, because we gave him Infacol and Gaviscon for months. It didn't work, but it made us feel better, you know. it was purely psychosomatic.
Yeah.
But a friend of mine who I went to school with, who I reconnected with, his child had reflux when she was younger. He brought over a set of 24 cloth nappies and he said, I want you to have these as a gift. And oh my God, it was the best gift because like with muslin cloths, the spew goes through really easily. And even though muslins are lovely and you can use them for lots of different things, the nappy cloths, you can use them to wipe up tea, to wipe up spew. Yeah, yeah, yeah. They can be a shade. They can be a pillow. And so now we've just got like 15. We had to leave 10.
Are they the things we've got?
Might be.
We've got some reusable. We've got a few different types of reusable nappy that so far we tried putting these ones that have got like quite a thick nappy cloth in them. we tried putting them on Twyla and it made her look like something from Lord of the Rings.
So it looked like, you know, like a kilo of sugar each side of her, just stuffed down her pants.
She hated it because it was like so thick between her legs. It was pushing her legs out.
Yeah, yeah.
You could tell she was like, get this off me.
Yeah. So, I don't know what you think you're playing at.
Yeah.
This is not going to continue.
Yeah. So they've not come back into circulation, but we have got like a sort of drawer full of these thick nappy cloths that we've not thought about using in other circumstances. You've put her on it when you're having a bit of nudie time.
Yeah.
Yeah, nudie time, or when you're breastfeeding, you know, when Frankie fed, at the end, and he'd be asleep sometimes, he'd open his mouth and all of it would just dribble down my top. So I constantly smelt like milk. So I'd sometimes put a little flannel under, and I wish I had one of these big nappy cloths, because it's a really, it can be really disgusting when you smell like milk all day and you don't get time necessarily to have a shower. Some mums do and some mums don't. I didn't. And so I would have loved something bigger, because I'd use muslins as well, but again, didn't absorb it.
I
am such a convert.
Well, I mean, are you comfortable talking about the boob drips?
Oh, yeah.
Basically, because Hannah has to put a muslin under her other boob while feeding, because if she forgets, Twyla sort of lies underneath that one and it gets soaked. Like yesterday, yesterday she was, I took her, I was like, she's weed all over herself. And we realized Hannah had just dripped all down her. And it was
And I've had the sprays.
Yeah.
Just like,
yes.
Like it's the finest mist. Like it's the finest mist of milk.
It's like when I'm air fresheners in a bathroom. It goes,
it's got more power than that. Like I think the spray is about probably maybe a meter, I think it could go. And I was in the night when it happened the first time, and I could kind of see it in the shadow, just this laser coming out of my boob, and then I tried to touch it and I almost couldn't feel it, and then I was like, oh my god, no, there, it's spraying out. I was like, Carl, quick, wake up, look at this.
I got woken up. So
tits are magical.
Yeah.
Tits are so magical.
I mean, it's been amazing to just watch a baby be fed, a human being surviving just off breastfeeding for 7.5 weeks. It's
crazy.
Yeah.
And like theoretically, she can do that for a lot longer. Yeah. Just breast milk. Isn't that amazing? Theoretically, let's say 15 to 18 months from their conception, your body is the only thing that they need.
Yeah.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah. Yeah, it is. I have that thing during pregnancy, I really felt that. I think now because of external, you know, because you're in the world and there's all sorts of other things going on, like I don't see the wonder of it as much in myself, you know, for me.
Because when I was pregnant, I was someone else. It is like living for lots of people, it's like living in a nightmare.
Yeah.
But I was so keenly aware of how incredible what was happening inside me was. And I look at my body now and I remember the look of being pregnant. I look at photos, I'm like, God, I don't actually remember what it feels like. But when I was there, I didn't remember what it looked like to have a normal body.
Yeah.
Having said that, I am a full stone heavier than I was before I fell pregnant, and that weight has gone nowhere.
that must be interesting for you, because you've always been thin and you're likelihood
almost
always
accused
be to,
of being bulimic.
To lose weight, isn't it? That you could get thinner with stress and all that kind of thing.
So easily. So now it's the biggest problem I have is not with being heavier. I really quite like being heavier.
Mm.
But I have accrued so many clothes over the years, and I've been a size 6 since I was 22. And that was 18 years ago. So I have 18 years of clothes that I am either going to throw out, give to someone, or work towards.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm ever going to be a 6 again. I really don't.
No.
But I tell you what, 4 months of lockdown and a rekindled love of choc mint cornettos has not helped make 8.
Yeah. I mean, we've really started to talk this last week about should we start not eating chocolate all the time?
I went for a walk the other day. I went for a big walk and I got chafing in between my thighs, which I...
never had. No. What's it called? Chub rub.
Is that what it is?
I remember there was a Rebel Wilson TV show, Bogan Pride, that was on like one series. And I just remember her running and going, oh, roast beef, roast beef, roast beef. As her thighs rubbed.
I get itchy fat now. Like when I exercise, my stomach gets itchy or my thighs get itchy because fat's just being thrown around. They're like, this isn't connected to the bone. What's happening here?
With my thighs, I came back and I was like, fuck, that hurts. And then I put her baby bum butter stuff on it and I was like,
pseudo cream. There we go.
What was it? Our Fitbit. Nice. My Fitbit yesterday told me I did 1,800 steps all day, which is, you should do more than that, just going to the toilet back and forth in a day. Like, I was so static.
We've just put our Fitbits back on.
But then I had a good one.
Guys, it's 7 weeks.
I know.
Give yourself a break.
True. But we've been very good.
I'm 8.5 months.
True. But we've been very good at getting out and about. I've gone out for loads. We've, like, from very early on, like, from, I think she was 5 days old was when we went for our first walk out around the park.
Astonished.
So, yeah, I think, you know, it's been quite, but it hasn't felt as crazy.
I did my first solo trip with her on Sunday, though. That was, so we often go to this farmer's market in Queen's Park together.
Yeah.
And
I know that park, the one you're talking about. I've been there.
Had Dave Fulton come over to help fix his motorbike. So I was like, okay, I'm going to go by myself with Twyla because our pram's so massive and the carriage underneath's really good for bringing all the food home. And so she knows that route really well. And we cut through Queen's Park to get there. So sometimes now we're going to Queen's Park to meet the other babies and the parents. So I was almost at Queen's Park when she woke up. She never usually wakes up if it's just me and Carl with her. She'll sleep all the way through the farmer's market and wake up kind of just before we get back home. But with me, she just woke up just before, got through the park. She's still awake, got to the farmer's market, like went in and she started to cry. So I managed to get some of the things I wanted to get.
Yeah.
And then she was crying the whole way through, got out, she stopped crying. Then I found someone else's phone and was like, I can't just leave this phone here. So I was trying to deal with this lost iPhone. And then she started crying again. I got into the park, stopped her from crying, got halfway across the park, started crying again. I'm like, right, I'm going to feed her, and sat under a tree cross-legged and fed her. Then the guy was calling me about this phone was ringing in my,
oh my God,
bag that I couldn't get to. And I finally got it after she finished feeding. We made an arrangement to meet up. Then it started to rain a little bit. Then I got palpitations.
But I couldn't. You just wanted an orange.
Yeah.
I wanted those cherries so badly.
When it started raining, so it started raining really heavy for about, 1 minute, and then it just stopped. But for as it got to like the end of that first minute, I was like, Hannah hadn't brought the rain cover for the pram,
like
a raincoat. I was literally like, I'm just going to have to go and
find
her in the streets.
I had this thing with, because I get palpitations sometimes, and to stop the palpitations, I have to stop and just kind of lean down, go get my head beneath my heart. But if I stopped, she'd start crying in the pram.
Yeah.
So I was like, fuck it, I'm just going to have palpitations for the rest of this walk.
So you were bending over, hands up, pushing the pram.
And then at one point,
like a mobile downward dog,
the phone rang again. And when I went to get the phone out, my debit card flew out of my bag. So I went to go and pick that up, and the pram started rolling away. And I was like,
"Oh my God!" I can't believe you have a sense of humor about this at this point.
Hannah came back. You shouldn't laugh, but you looked like you'd been through such a war.
I did. It looked like I'd run a 10-kilometer, hard race.
Because it's the stress of like, am I going to have to feed you? If I am, is there somewhere I can feed you? Yeah. Are you going to wake up? Are you going to go to sleep? And that's what. The incredible thing about, because that continues probably for the rest of your life to some degrees. It just get quieter and quieter and quieter. But the unbelievable thing about quarantine is after 10 days or after 8 days, that switched off. So I actually woke up feeling refreshed, but it took 8 days for the, because you're on high alert, even when you don't want to be, even when you're watching a movie and they're asleep or you're watching a TV show because you won't be watching full movies at this stage. You're watching 45-minute chunks of movies and then getting back to it 2 weeks later.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't think I've slept through the night since I've been here.
Mm.
Even though I sleep through the night at home, as does Frankie, but in the day I still had, like, a hypervigilance about me. And yeah, it's so nice to have my nervous system feel like it's restored to even half of a normal level, you know?
Yeah. And you're going into filming again in tomorrow and in the next couple of days, is that right?
Yeah, on Monday, next month.
And in the past, would you have felt anxiety about that? Do you have any anxiety about doing that work compared to, like, the sort of the feelings that you have with the baby?
No, I mean, work was one of the only things that kept me sane when I was mm-hmm. postnatal, because yeah, I just felt the weight of responsibility of being a mum. Even though you get told it, like, different people react to it differently, but the fact that he couldn't live without me,
yeah,
and that there was no one else that could breastfeed him. But I also liked that. I liked being, like, that part of motherhood. But the pressure of it and the sleeplessness, I just thought, this is never going to end and I'm going to feel this stressed out for the rest of my life, even though I knew cognitively that wasn't the truth.
Mm-hmm.
But physiologically I couldn't shake that feeling that I felt trapped and that I was doing a bad job as a mum.
Mm-hmm.
So when I went to work, because he wasn't there, I missed him, but I did not miss the responsibility.
Yeah.
There was a friend of mine who got in touch when she had postnatal too, and she said her and her friend used to write to each other, love the kid, hate the job.
Yeah.
About motherhood.
Yeah.
And it wasn't that I hated the job. I just felt so distressed by his crying and the incessance of it. And then how isolated Chris was in Australia. He had no friends, he had no family, and he had a baby with colic and his wife went to work.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden he's in this Airbnb on the other side of the world, you know, with no support, not knowing that even the health system, that kind of stuff, you know.
Yeah.
But I really love being a mum now.
Yeah.
Like Frankie's the best person I've ever met.
Yeah.
He's the best.
Yeah.
And I have breakfast with him every day in quarantine.
Yeah.
So he wakes up and my mum and mother-in-law calls and she sets up the iPad in front of his high chair.
Yeah.
And he gets fed and he's a little monster. And, you know, I do all the classic songs and games we used to play in the lounge room and he recognises them, which is good.
Yeah.
And he gets really excited when he sees me, which I actually didn't expect, given I tried to speak to my niece for 6 years on Skype before she wanted to talk to me.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that says something about her, doesn't it? Not about the medium.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you. I'll actually bring that up next time I see her.
Yeah.
It's them moments, like, I mean, it's still the early stages, but the moments when you realise they first have recognised the thing. The first time you get a smile in response to something rather than when they're probably just passing wind or something. So, yeah, their moment, they're pretty amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. That doesn't stop. Yeah. The new recognitions and things like that, yeah, as they keep coming. I was just saying, because you just cry. You've stopped crying now when she smiles at you.
Because, yeah, I'm now used to it. But it still gets me every time. But first few times she just smiled at me, it just set me off. I just cried.
Yeah, because it's extraordinary. I still look at photos of Frankie and, I mean, this might just be my low self-esteem, but I cannot believe a baby so beautiful loves me that much. Like that I'm the person and he's like, you? But I love you.
Yeah, yeah,
and I'm
like,
do you? Because I love you. Like, this is the best coincidence. There's still a part of me that, even though I feel like his mum, there's still a part of me that feels like he's choosing to hang out with me, even though he isn't. Yeah. But it just feels like, I don't know, he's so much fun. Even when he's frustrated, he's so much fun. And he's a real dingus. And he's pissed on me so many times.
Yeah.
And I just still find it funny.
Yeah, that's a. I mean, that's something that we don't have to deal with. Obviously, we'd heard about those little teepees. Did you have one of those to put over his?
We've got teepees, yeah. And sometimes you remember, and sometimes once he's at a certain age, he will just grab the teepee off, and then he will try to rip his penis off with a vigor that is upsetting and traumatizing.
Oh God!
Like the amount of times my husband's come in and just gone, mate, you can't do that to a your dick. You just can't. You ought to treat it with a bit more respect, because they don't know it's connected to them, and they're like crawling up to their ears.
Oh God!
Oh, it's so aggressive, and he loves to play with it. Just
Yeah, well, it would be fun. Our main thing, we have to make sure that she doesn't have poo in her fanny.
Yeah, I know, that's a real
regular
check you got to do.
Poo in the flaps.
Yeah.
Sorry, just to be very Australian.
And it's normally based on which angle she's been at when she does a poo. Like if she's lying on your chest and she does a massive poo, you're like, that's in the flaps. I know.
We started to call they had Joel creases. That's what when
Why?
We because they her little creases down there.
Oh, for some reason, that's so cute.
Got to clean out her Joel creases.
I'm like, is there a joke? Is there a story about Joel shitting in a woman's flat? That doesn't sound on brand at all.
No.
Not even after a few drinks.
She's got creases.
Yeah, Joel creases. There's been a couple of monumental shits. Mm-hmm. One was the first one after about an hour on the plane over to Australia. And because air pressure does something to babies. So they're
this is something I do need to know about, yeah.
Yeah. So pack a nappy for every hour you're on the plane. Mm-hmm. That's what they say. Yeah. And take
probably more for like the toilet.
Six outfits for her. Mm-hmm. And then pack at least two or three for you. Because you forget that you get covered in spew and milk and poo and you're going to be on a plane for 24
hours. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So the first one he did, and also the other thing is we've got like one of those you know, those changing bags, and they've got a change mat in them.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we also have this thing called a Zip Hop, which Matthew Crosby recommended to us, mm-hmm. which is a portable changing mat, and you can put nappies in there, and there's a section for wipes. You can put a little pseudo creme. They're great, right? So rather than taking the whole bag. So Chris said, "Oh, we don't need the Zip Hop because we've got the backpack." And I went, "You know what? I'm just going to bring it anyway." So the first time I used the change mat from the bag, which is made of material and not waterproof.
Oh, come on.
Which seems very rookie for a travel bag.
Yeah, yeah.
So I put Frankie down, open him up. He has shat up to his ears.
Oh.
Just his whole back. And up to his ears. And then, of course, the mat is ruined.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I believe we'll be using the Zip Hop bag for the next 23 hours.
Oh, my God.
And as well, I imagine on a plane, because normally if they're on you, you feel it or you hear it or, you know, you're aware they've just gone to the toilet. On a plane, the noise and the vibrations, you haven't got a clue they've done it until you work it out.
Yeah. You just go, oh, I wonder if... Oh, yeah, I think that's done.
I've got, because we've just, you know, we'd been using some white noise sometimes for her when she gets distressed. Mm-hmm. And then I just discovered pink noise as well. And with pink noise, it's like it's a slightly different frequency or something. And there's a lot of pink noise that is actually aeroplane noises. Yes. It sounds like when you're on the plane. And I was like, wow, that kind of. I
will say though,
something.
If you are for anyone who's using it for their baby, be aware that it's very short tracks, and when it changes from one track to the next, it's such an aggressive change. like it goes quiet, and it like it just comes in with the next one, and actually that normally jolts them. So
put one
on loop, and then you're fine.
Yeah, put that one on repeat. Well, we've got the calm.com ad. This is the other thing that happens to you when you have a baby.
Can't talk.
Your mouth and your brain are like, I don't feel like having a conversation with you. You sort it out by yourself.
Ours are usually just one letter in a word, just it changes. Mm. Like I said the other day, instead of saying still, I just said spill. It's just those minute, the changes are whole.
I just said ziplock instead of zip hop.
Yeah.
And I will say that for the rest of my life. Very much the same way my dad calls the movie Groundhog Day, Hedgehog Day.
Yeah, exactly.
Mind you, he doesn't know to correct himself. So, what were we talking about?
We were talking about poos, planes.
Planes.
Oh, white noise, yeah. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, so we have the calm.com app. And we would just play the waves. I would play the rain because I love listening to the rain.
Yeah.
And then Chris got so upset by it. He's like, we've got to start playing waves because I can't deal with that. And then we found out that our monitor has white noise on it too.
Yeah.
So we put that on. And that also helps, like, now at his age, he doesn't need the white noise, but it helps drown out the sound in the rest of the flat.
Yeah.
So we can cook in the kitchen and make a bit of noise and he can't hear it.
Yeah.
As good for insulating as it is for actually calming them down.
Yeah. Cool. I'm just thinking about the type, man. What type do you know?
Well, I have a suspicion she has done a poo. I felt some rumblings. Ooh.
She does poos. She's like, let's just say that.
The ones that, like, because I'm doing most of the changes, like, as a majority of them, but sometimes in the night you'll do one if I don't rouse, and basically
I allow him an extra sleep.
But
so
I'm the one who I often gets she does a poo, I change it, literally do the nappy up, she does another poo, change it,
three in a row.
I do the third one, does a poo, and it's basically it's just that thing of, you know, it's air and stuff can encourage more out and things. There's loads of reasons, but they're the ones that are demoralizing. When you get that third one, you're like, come on.
Oh, I've written it down. I can remember the night that I fed Frankie and I thought, you know what? I'm just going to change him and put him to sleep. I can do that this one time. And actually I did it loads of times, but he fed for an hour. That was one of those nights that he took half an hour to wake up, and I changed him and he pissed on me. And so I had to change all of his clothes.
Yeah.
Which was a baby grow, and then the long sleeve outfit on top of that. And then so I changed him again, and then I changed his nappy, and then he did a poo, and I took that off, and then he got some poo on that one. So then I had to change both of his outfits again, and then change the third one, and he did another poo, and I'm like, I think I've got to get Chris. Oh, there's one night. I'll tell you this story because only parents would understand. I kind of needed to go to the toilet when he was feeding, but I thought, it's okay. So I'm changing him, and he pooed, and then I had to change him, and then he was doing another poo, and then I thought, I'm going to shit myself now. So I just had to put him on the floor on this bit of lamb's wool with a muslin cloth and run to the toilet while he was crying on the floor, because I'm like, I have a bit of shit in my pants too, Frankie. I'm sorry, mate, it's 3 a.m.,
yeah,
we're just both going to have to cry this one out.
I think our digestive systems, even though, you know, we're not physically connected now, I think they're still connected. My stomach's making some crazy noises at the moment.
The longest noise I've ever heard last night. Like, it was such a funny one that, like, you know, it's long enough that I turned to Hannah after about the first 20% of the noise, and then we just looked at each other while the other 80% happened.
Yeah.
Oh, mate. Can you believe how much of your relationship is about body functions now?
It's like, and to go from, like, I used to have routines about how I wouldn't even fart in, like, if Hannah was in the same building as me. Do you know what I mean? Like, now it's what we discuss constantly.
Yeah.
Constantly. And we're just like, is that your stomach or my stomach? Or we've stopped. I don't know what it is about lockdown, but my farts have become so much worse, and our ability to leave the room has just dropped to like 5%. Like, I'm sorry, like, what for? You're like, that.
That's the thing. She's been doing some smelly. There's been some smells coming out of her, which hadn't been happening recently. And then I read that it's possibly, I've been eating quite a bit of broccoli at the moment, and that apparently can transfer through the milk into their bum holes.
I think that you know this already, but I got told that your body, like your milk changes, can change from hour to hour, and is so in tune with the baby that if it's a hot day, that the consistency of the milk will change to be thinner so that the baby gets more water. Isn't that just astounding?
And I saw a thing with twins. You can have your breasts will be two different temperatures. If you've got twins and they're at a different temperature, in terms to regulate them, it will your breasts will be different temperatures.
We are magical.
Yeah, women are amazing. That's where we started like this.
That's wizardry.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it really is. It really is.
No wonder we get paid less. Because we realised how fucking powerful we were.
Exactly. Or no, that maybe that people do realise how powerful. They just got to keep us down.
Yeah, man. Get out of here, Carl. We don't need you.
No, please don't. Please don't.
I'm off to change it now. Thank you.
Please don't leave me.
Please God, I can't do this by myself. Yeah. Shout out to single parents again.
Yeah, totally. Oh, my God. Totally. Well,
yeah.
So nice to talk to you.
Yeah.
So nice to talk to you guys. Look, I've just had a burger and chips and I've just finished watching Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. So I'll probably get back to my 1,000-piece jigsaw now. I've been doing it for 10 days.
Yeah, very good.
If you don't you beat yourself up. Remember that you have only had a baby for 7 weeks.
Yeah.
Please remember that, and that you're managing to record a podcast. You are doing phenomenally well. Phenomenally. You still love each other. You guys still seem pretty happy.
We still haven't had a baby related. We haven't had an argument since she was born.
Mm. Or before.
Which is all before. Yeah, we don't argue. We sort of have the odd discussion where we work something out. But yeah, we've not. I'm surprised. I was very, very prepared for We're really good at not arguing. We're very chilled and we'd always discuss something and just, oh, that's it sorted. But I was like, secretly I was like, we're definitely gonna have arguments in the early days of Twyla being here, and that hasn't happened.
Well
so
done
far.
Guys,
so I'm very
just congratulations surprised. For being wonderful.
Thank you. And you've been very supportive. You've offered you know, there's advice that you gave us on the podcast at first, like for example the bio oil. I did that the whole way through my pregnancy and my skin was all stretches. Good and just little text messages, and you know, you're very encouraging and say really nice things. So thank you for your support throughout the whole time.
Not at all, mate. Look, I think I said it on the podcast last time, or I don't know if I did, but Ellie Taylor did the same thing to me. And honestly, just being thought of is such, because you can feel, even if you're doing well, you can feel really alone in pregnancy. Even with your partner, you can feel alone, even when you're both doing a good job. Having another person outside of the people that you see every day, day in and day out, to say, I'm thinking of you, how are you going, just asking you.
Yeah.
I just found it so helpful during my pregnancy. And then when I found, the first 4 or 5 months so hard, I just almost feel like a missionary. Like I honestly feel like it's a calling to take care or to offer what I can to new parents. I truly feel like that.
Well, that's what you said about pregnancy as well. You were like, I want to go into schools and go and talk to people about this and what it's all about.
Yeah, it's really changed me.
Mm. Yeah.
Who knows for the better, but no,
Well, I think you're doing just fine.
I'm doing just fine.
In a hotel room.
Wait till I'm back with Frankie and I'm like, I need a break.
Well, thank you so much for talking to us this evening / morning, and we'll speak again.
God, I can see your baby's little socked feet, and I think I just got pregnant again.
I mean, she's timed it perfectly. She's literally just woken up and she's starting to get a bit fiddly. Well done, Twyla. You timed
give her a little kiss for me.
Yeah, we'll do.
When we can all see each other and hug each other again, we'll do that.
All right. Thank you.
Bye. Bye.
GreatBigOwl.com. Heavy Pencil.
An actor of my experience, you just get wrung dry.
A podcast sitcom with Anna Crilly and Tony Gardner.
I played Edmund Gelder, and he played Fanny Snatch.
The Observer called it
a lovely thing, wonderfully funny, pitched perfectly, produced with a light touch.
I'm not having any more of this. I need you to pull me off immediately.
Heavy Pencil from Great Big Owl.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.